Hello, everybody. If you haven't had a view from this vantage point yet, it's a good one. And I can tell you, it's always a little bittersweet when Doug gives you your assignment, your sort of graduation assignment that you're going to give your Carolina story, because it means that your time on the board is drawing to a close. So I am going to drape myself in my only Alexander Julian piece of garb. I feel like this is the appropriate time to debut it. Thank you, Teresa. Now, I want to dispel the false expectation that as a professional actress that I would be the member most likely to have completely memorized and prepared remarks, because for the past couple of maybe 5 or 6 days, I have been spending my RAM, as it were, in my brain, learning and relearning my closing arguments to the Supreme Court as I play opposite legal counsel in How to Get Away with Murder to an Academy Award-winning actress, Viola Davis. I assure you that I needed to use my memory stick for that work, so I will use my other version of memory, my iPad, which I'm sure all of you all understand at this stage in your life. Frankly, what I get paid to do is to memorize by now. That's what it is, and that's the heavy lifting for all of us at this stage in life. And I don't believe that my agents called with whatever fee Doug was offering for this memorization skill. So I'm going to give you the free version. I'd also like the lawyers in the room here to think about this. Tom and Wade, and where's Carl Fox when you need him, the judge? That trial that I was part of went till 1:45 in the morning. Does that ever happen? No, it does not. Only on TV. 35 years I've been a professional actress. 35. And it really did give me the opportunity to play many women from power and privilege and access. That seemed to be the types of roles that came my way, certainly on screen. And there are plenty of people that assume that actors are like the roles that they play. But I want to dispel another myth. I'm a public school gal. My family have all been public school trained, except for my dad, who went to that small university in Evanston that you spoke about, Northwestern. Yep. But all the rest of us are public school products. And it was something that I take great pride in. And I also come from a family of storytellers. That was one of the things that we were really good at. So my grandparents and all of their siblings who were educated during the Depression, they became doctors and teachers and accountants and engineers. But we all invested in public schools and cared deeply about them. So the fact that I was lucky enough to go to public school through the 60s and 80s was a real advantage for me and led me to my profession, because the public schools in this state really committed to the arts, to the performing arts. And I know that that is why I'm making a good living today, is because of that investment. I participated in that world through singing in choirs and performing musicals. It was my natural aptitude and my natural legacy, being born to those storytellers. The other legacy I get from my family is pragmatism. And television gave me a lot, watching television gave me a lot of role models to aspire to my aspiration as an independent, self-sufficient career woman. And I want all of you here to recognize that the power of Mary Tyler Moore and her show is in evidence here in this room. I see the women nodding their heads, recognizing that those types of role models on screen matter. And they are what gave me the confidence to move out beyond a traditional role model. My dad was also a journalist at WBTV in Charlotte and at WRAL in Raleigh. And I fully intended to go into that field myself. My aunt had gone to Carolina, several of my dad's cousins. We didn't spend a whole lot of time here when I was growing up, and I did apply to several schools in the NC system. But I remember my interview at the admissions building, and it went well. That was sort of my power zone. And I knew when the acceptance letter came that it was a sign to me that I would follow in my father's footsteps in the news business, because the journalism school here was well-known and still is of the highest caliber. But my first years at Carolina revealed there were more options to me than I had ever imagined. My first residence was Acock. You all know that dorm, Acock? It had only recently undergone a gender transformation. That's right. It was now, at that stage, a woman's dorm. It had been at all men's dorm. Look at the guys who remember it well. And we were the only female dorm in that upper and lower quad. And we celebrated the indelicacies of the urinals in the bathroom by planting plants in those porcelain receptacles. My first roommate was from Gastonia. And she and her boyfriend had a friend on the Tar Heel basketball team, that 1979-1980 team. He was a freshman by the name of James Worthy. I didn't grow up really watching basketball. My dad was a race car driver. That's what we spent our weekends doing. And I had also never met anyone in my life so tall. But I can tell you, I was really excited about going to watch him play and to see a college game at Carmichael Auditorium for the first time. What I hadn't counted on was that I was also going to watch someone break their leg for the first time. Any of you all remember that shocking, heartbreaking moment? The fact that he was someone I knew made it all the more stunning. And what broke my heart just weeks later was thinking about our very insensitive visit to his dorm room. We rubbernecked at this poor broken warrior in his bed. And it stuck with me ever since, what it means to observe people when they're most vulnerable and how we sometimes forget the human aspect to the athletes that we admire. Another awakening in Acock dorm was volunteering for a student hotline for sexual assault. We didn't call it that then. We called it the rape hotline that later evolved to a program called Safe Walk, which offers companions for females to get from one place on campus to another, any place. I had never really felt unsafe in my environments growing up. I know how fortunate I am to be able to say that. And I did not feel unsafe at Carolina. But I learned from a resident advisor in one of the men's dorms who led this initiative that the potential for danger was really there on our campus. And it was before our culture really educated young people that no means no. And it opened my eyes in a practical sense and opened my consciousness that I realize was part of the beginnings of a lifelong advocacy for women, which I am still very, very much invested in today. I don't want to suggest that my freshman year was such a downer. It sounds like it was. Really, I did. I had a lot of advantages. I had scholarships from my title in the Junior Miss Pageant, which was a scholarship pageant now called the Distinguished Young Women of America. I paid for 2 years of college through that scholarship money. I was also the lead singer in a rock and roll band. Now, this was a band that was formed by a very talented keyboard player at Broughton High School, where I attended. And he was my boyfriend at Broughton. And we revived the band here at Carolina. And we were sophisticated. We played Supertramp and Steely Dan. And this guy is incredibly talented. And our drummer was a brother at the Ki-Fi House. And we rehearsed there in that beer-scented basement. And I will never forget a very rare privilege of actually performing on the quad at Spring Fling. I don't know if they have that anymore. But that, for me, was an understanding that I had a place at Carolina as a performer. The band sort of dissipated, but it gave me a real sense of confidence that in such a big environment, I would actually be able to hold a stage. I needed to earn money, and I found my first waitress job ever at Harrison's. Anybody remember Harrison's? A basement, another basement. I spent a lot of time in basements here at Carolina, right next to the Rathskeller. And that skill that I learned there proved to be really important, one that I had to rely on in years to come as an actress. And I am still pretty good at carrying multiple plates and glasses. I lost out on the dorm lottery my sophomore year. Anybody else had that experience? Yeah? No? Yes? And I had to live off campus. And that was an impetus for me to look at Greek life, because it was a way to stay engaged on campus. I pledged Alpha Chi Omega, was pledge class president, and made a dear and lasting friendship with my big sister, Jane Stansel. She is still one of my soulmates, and together we found our way to pursue our true passions. For her, it was the medical field. She's a doctor now, and I realized that I would rather spend time in the theater department than in the sorority and frat houses. That was an important thing for me to understand, that my free time was more valuable to me than my social time. I had to find that balance. I'm sure we all had to go through that. Professor Kramer last night, who received our alumni award, he reminded me why history was one of my favorite studies, fields of studies at Carolina. He talked about why the liberal arts matter and how we need to understand why humans do things and the way in which we do them. The study of history has a lot of parallels with the study of drama. And a good history professor tells a story that engages us. And one of my favorite storytellers ever was Professor James Luzzi. Anybody have Dr. Luzzi? He thrilled me with the way he taught us about military history. And I invested hard-earned money into taking one of the trips to the Civil War battlefields. I will never forget that experience. It changed the way I thought about the South. And I know how lucky I am to have had him while he was in his prime. That sophomore year, I took a speech class and was cast in the Reader's Theater play. And I played a lead role of an elderly but romantic woman. It was a big deal, not only because it was a move for me from musicals to a straight play, but it was the first time I really considered myself an actress, not just a singer and a dancer. And I was anointed by a North Carolina treasure, Martha Nell Hardy. Any of you all familiar with Martha Nell Hardy, who was a titan in the Reader's Theater and speech world all across the country? And she also was a beloved member of a very important cultural North Carolina, I think, treasure, our outdoor drama business. Have you all ever seen Unto These Hills, any of you, in Cherokee? She was in that cast for probably 25 or 30 years. I was still unknown at that point to the theater department. But some representatives from there saw me in a supporting role in the production of Cabaret that the Carolina Union did. Do they still do theater productions at the Carolina Union to offer people that aren't students, theater students? We don't know that. Well, it was important for me. And the theater department offered me to audition for a series of Tennessee Williams plays. And the audition process I learned, through that process I learned an important lesson. That it was okay to risk the disappointment of not being cast rather than to sit on the sidelines. That was very tempting for me, just to sit back and assume that if I wasn't in the department that I wouldn't be considered. I kind of made up that story in my head, why the department would never give someone a role who wasn't a major. That was an attempt to protect myself from the real risk of rejection and the embarrassment that accompanies it. But the life of an artist is filled with rejection. There's no way to avoid that disappointment. And I've learned over the years that there's no way to pursue your passion without putting yourself out there on the line and risking it to reach your potential. I was cast, and I was embraced by a radically gifted artistic department heads who saw potential in me that I really had not imagined. Supporting roles with the graduate students and professional actors that are hired from New York to come down and play at the Paul Green Regional Theater Company. I really became an apprentice to the real craft of acting. In Chekhov, in Three Sisters, that taught me concentration on a classic playwright. The ability to move moment to moment with behavior, active listening, and expose me to the raccoons that hang out around the old Playmakers Theater. Our leaders, David Rotenberg and Gregory Boyd, were Meryl Streep's classmates at Yale. They were so sophisticated that they developed Broadway-bound projects at the Paul Green Theater. I had the opportunity to create original roles. That's so unique as an undergrad student. I worked with professionals from New York that stretched my abilities from Shakespeare to avant-garde, performing at such a high level of a facility at the Paul Green. If you haven't seen it yet, it's a treasure on this campus. Working on excellent sets that push the boundaries of their technological accomplishments and prowess and develop skills for their students as off stage as well as on stage. And I got to work with literally one of the top-rated costume departments in the country. We have a stock of costumes that are built for each actor and warehoused that rivals any in the country. Those things are important for an actor. And I never knew that coming to Carolina would give me this level that I would have gotten at a conservatory program. Because these theater pros invited me into that creative space, I learned this technique. I was inspired by the graduate students. But I also had real inspiration in the journalism department, John Sweeney. Any of you all know Professor John Sweeney? John Sweeney was a pro in advertising, and that was the track that I was actually pursuing at the time. And I sang one of my marketing presentations, and he was impressed with my voice and took the time to contact one of his colleagues in Chicago in the ad world to listen to my tape, my vocal tape. I got great feedback and learned that I had potential to become a professional singer. Also at UNC, we support something called the Southeastern Theater Conference. You may not be aware of that, but this is a professional organization that offers audition opportunities and employment networking for theaters all around the Southeast. And I was cast in really important theaters and performing opportunities like the Farmhouse in Blowing Rock, if you're familiar with that. I spent 2 summers there, Jenny Wiley Outdoor Music Theater in Kentucky, and East Carolina Summer Music Program that is truly one of the best. We spend a lot of money in these programs, and we employ a lot of people. That adds to the economic well-being of our state and our region. It's something that Carolina should be proud of. One of the other highlights of my life here was through my Greek world friendships. Harriet Morrison, who is also an Alpha Chi Omega, and I became founding members of the Order of the Bell Tower. It was just, you know, one of the interesting opportunities to engage with other people on different levels. And it also allowed me to attend my first football bowl game, the Cotton Bowl. We won that game. And I remember celebrating. We had entree and access because we were with the Alumni Association. And I ran into one of my speech classmates, a very happy and proud Lawrence Taylor, who lovingly referred to me as Little Lawrence all through our classes. Back to the performing arts. It's it really has a circuitous nature, but I benefited from this Chapel Hill, not just the university, but the community at large. I sang at the Miss North Carolina pageant, not as a contestant, but as a filler during the judging period. And a pianist there invited me to be a lounge singer at Mr. Harvey's Bistro in Durham. How many of you all remember Mr. Harvey's Bistro? I learned great classic, the American Songbook, there with him. And from there I was invited by Marnie Carmichael of the Carmichael family to perform a new cabaret revue at Slugs in the Pines. Who remembers Slugs in the Pines? Slug Claiborne. So every night, almost, I was given the opportunity to perform in front of live audiences. This was invaluable. It not only gave me a sense of what it was like to hold my own in front of a live audience all the time, but I met someone who became my soul brother, a guy named Jeff Smith, who's also a Tar Heel. And he was a pro from New York, just a few years older than I was. After he decided to go back to school here at Carolina, get his degree in history, and open up his own business as a marketing executive with his own PR firm, we have truly stayed so connected. He's now one of my best friends in Los Angeles, and he is on your ballot for the GAA position on the West Coast. There's a reason that I nominated him, many, many reasons. After I graduated, I did a final season of Summer Stock and had made enough friends and support that it convinced me to give performing 5 years. If not, if it didn't work out, I was going to take my journalism degree. And the newly formed CNN was a place that I knew was open to women. Bobby Batista, who was on the air at WRAL with my dad, was the lead anchor there. And I believed that I could give myself this window of pursuing something that didn't feel pragmatic, but I had a passion for. I got performance work right away on a cruise ship, and so I felt like I could compete in the big time. I waited a lot more tables, and I had lots of auditions and invested in dance classes and acting classes and voice, constantly building my equipment. And role by role, I developed my resume, and some of them right here in the triangle, where I was a founding artist of the now nationally recognized North Carolina Theater in Raleigh, which for over 30 years has employed literally thousands of people from New York and right here in the triangle. And I guarantee you has opened the doors to so many young people who now have had a chance to learn through our camps and find a love, not just as performing, but as audience members, a very key component to what it means to have live theater in your life. After graduation, I toured the country with Broadway shows. And also played on Broadway in Zorba and Fiddler on the Roof and Cabaret and Chicago. So I didn't have a lot of opportunities to come back to Carolina. Believe me, an 8-show-a-week schedule five of those shows are on a weekend, Friday, two Saturday, two Sunday. It doesn't allow for a lot of flexibility with your travel. But when I moved to California to pursue television, I started attending some of the events in Los Angeles. And I actually also attended some events for different cities around the country, alumni groups. And I was actually invited to speak here at the journalism school about how Hollywood actually views and creates protections for our intellectual property. I had been serving on the Women in Film organization for quite some time at that point and had a perspective on this. And I was also honored with an invitation by Holden Thorpe, who was running the planetarium at the time, to narrate one of our feature programs. And then I received the Distinguished Young Alumni Award in 1998, which was more encouragement. And it brought me back into the GAA orbit and the service of the commander of its mission control, Doug Dibbert. And that award certificate, it occupies a pretty big space on my wall in my office at home. But even bigger, and a bigger space, is occupied in my heart. Because I've seen here, sitting on this board, leaders, advocates, and people like Teresa, who has been the president for most of my term. They've inspired me, the people on the enrichment programs and on the awards committee, just the opportunity to hear and learn about the accomplishments and the high, high level that our staff expects and the range of programs that they run. We all have had this same feeling. The excellence and progressive nature of our Tar Heel network in reaching for greatness and accomplishing excellence is awe-inspiring. Now, Los Angeles, as far as it is, takes a day to get here and a day to get back. It brought me closer to Carolina again with our Hollywood intern program. Are you all familiar with that? It's a great one. I've met and made new family of Tar Heel fellows, and I'm a mentor to them. I am a financial contributor to the program and to all these meaningful experiences. They take seniors and offer them internship positions with all types of Hollywood industries. These relationships have really, really opened doors for many, many people in careers. I've watched these West Coast Tar Heels gather primarily to we come when basketball season happens. And the times when we're winning tournaments is when we all get together. It's hard in such a geographically challenging region. But that social club is becoming more and more engaged, and it's exciting. The people in that region are doing really interesting things. Brecca Brunmaster, she's writing for This Is Us. Rebecca Black, she produced a documentary on street kids in Hollywood. Andrew Carlberg produces theater in Los Angeles and New York. Two young ladies I met at the Carolina Club viewing ship for the championship game in April. They're Morehead Scholars. One's working at Caltech, the other at SpaceX. A whole gang of young grads have migrated to L.A. to work for Elon Musk's Solar City. And in Silicon Valley, my cousin, John Tumbleston, who got his master's and his Ph.D. here in physics, now runs the 3D printing program for our UNC Tech rock star and alumni award recipient, Joe DeSimone. And one of the most courageous endeavors, Joe's company, by the way, is called Carbon, and I think you may want to follow that because it's certainly doing impressive things. One of the most courageous endeavors, and one that means a lot to me, is the Tar Heel alum Andrea Pino, who was one of the subjects in that powerful documentary, The Hunting Ground. Familiar with that? About sexual assault on campuses? She spoke out. She took the university on. And she has laid groundwork for that cultural shift that Chancellor Fultz just spoke about. It brings me full circle. Advocacy for women, changing the culture, and recognizing that the voice and the moment in time with this Me Too movement could not have happened without people like Mary Tyler Moore, without this university, who, frankly, the leaders that I meet who come to Los Angeles are Susan King from the Mass Communications and Journalism School, Pat Parker from the Communications School, and Vivian Benesch, who's now running the theater department, who is a Juilliard-trained professional. The women's leadership here is so powerful to me. And these doors that opened into my life that I did not anticipate, I'll keep walking through them. The friendships that I found here with my fellow Rudies, you all know who you are. And if you're new here and you don't, ask Greg Parent, who represents the Atlanta contingency when he comes back. He'll fill you in. And all the teammates that I serve with on these committees. And when I walk through the doors of this beautiful home where the staff and Doug and Paula welcome not just me but my parents, it means so much to me. They are, as my dad says, my Ubers here when I arrive. And the fact that you all welcome them is really, really touching to me. And my own personal door in Los Angeles will always be open to my fellow Southern California Carolina alums. It all makes my life richer. So I am indeed a woman, not just playing, but living a life of power and privilege and access by virtue of the fact that I received a public education right here at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Thank you.
Thank you, Sharon. That was very, very.